That's not... What is this, comedy, The Final Frontier? Tom, what is that?
Is that you in there, Bob?
Yeah, is that my theme on there, Tom? Yeah, well, great. Would you have my theme on there for me, please?
Yeah, right. Okay, hang on. Hang on.
I guess he's just my cross to bear. Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of recorded comedy presented every Friday night here on KCRW. And tonight we're going to be listening to the best of the early improv groups from the 60s. There was a time in which improv groups flourished, and the very best of them were The Committee and The Premise and The Second City. This is partially to celebrate the fact that Second City is in town now, appearing at the Huntington Hartford. And let's start off with The Committee, though, and listen to a wonderful piece of theirs. It's called The Bar Scene, and it features Ellsworth Milburn, Dick Stahl, Gary Goodrow, and Larry Hankin. And it's all up there without a net, without a pre-written script. It's all presumably improvised. So here we go. Here's The Committee.
The piano tune, is it better?
Much better. It's about time.
Well, I told Bernie, how could you be expected to play the thing if it didn't play right? You know, he's so cheap.
Well, I've never met Bernie.
You'd hate him. He comes in here once a week for the receipts. The place would go to hell if it weren't for me.
You're a good manager.
Well, I am. Hi, Lair. How are you?
Hi, okay. Oh,
please. Hi, Lair.
Marvelous, Eddie.
Leave him alone.
Oh, he looks like a sunflower.
Did you go to the beach today?
Beach? No, I slept.
Did you go to the party in Sausalito last night?
Of course I did.
Wasn't it marvelous?
I don't remember half of it.
You said why?
I woke up this morning in the back of a truck in San Jose.
God, you're such a degenerate. You really are.
Thank you, dear.
Did you see Paul? He was wearing one of those new skinny leather ties.
Yes, I saw him.
Oh, they're wonderful. They're like instant whips.
I don't like the place where they sell them, though.
I like that number he does on Just a Snow Girl, a 10 Below Girl. I love that. That feather boa he uses.
Yeah, but where did he get all that stuff? From his aunt or something?
Oh, I don't know. He's such a tacky New York fairy. He really is.
The bar is closed right now. You can sit here. It's table service.
Thank you. My name's Larry. How do you do?
Mine's Larry, too. We're star-crossed.
Jimmy.
I'll have a scotch on the rocks, please.
And bring me a pink panther. It's a breakfast drink. You look very new. I've never seen you around before.
Well, actually, I just got in from New York this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A visiting fireman, huh?
Well, not exactly. It's a business trip. I'm an industrial designer looking for a job out here.
What do you do as an industrial designer?
Well, it's, I don't know, design consumer products mainly, things you use around the house, fly swatters.
Industrialists.
Mm. Little joke.
Yeah, well.
You wouldn't happen to know of any industrial design firms that are looking for a designer, would you?
Oh, I don't know what that is, even. I know a lot of people in advertising.
I get into graphics and things like that.
Do you know someone named Joel Oppenheimer? Is that what he does?
Yeah, he's a very big industrial designer.
Well, I know someone who works for him.
Oh, really?
Yes. He makes a lot of money, too. He's very rich.
Could you possibly introduce me or give me his phone number? I could call him at the office or something.
Why don't we have lunch tomorrow?
Scotch and water, pink panther.
How much is that?
It's on my tab.
Oh, really? Thank you very much.
It's quite all right. Visiting firemen, long may they wave. Hey, we'll have lunch tomorrow, and I'll tell Georgia my cousin. Okay?
Well, fine. That would be fine. Thank you very much.
You'll be very rich and famous and live in San Francisco.
I hope so.
What do you think of our little place here?
It's Well, I don't know, as an industrial designer or as a customer?
Well, it's either one or both. Take a choice.
Well, as an industrial designer, I'd say it's chic. As a customer, I'd say it's rather effeminate.
You hit the nail right on the head, didn't you? That's precisely what it is. Well, do you frequent gay bars very much?
Oh, no, it's, when the bar was open, I was just passing by. I didn't know it was a gay bar.
Oh, I'm not accusing you of walking into a gay bar.
Well, I just want to clear the air, that's all.
Consider it cleared, dear. You're very nice.
Thank you.
Where are you from?
New York.
It's my spiritual home. I haven't been there in 5 years, actually. I kind of missed it this summer. I wanted to be there and see all the blood on the streets and everything.
Actually, it's not quite that bad. The paper's been playing it up, you know.
Are you kidding? It was that bad when I left 5 years ago. It must be a lot worse now. You're very big, aren't you? How tall are you?
About 6'4".
How much do you weigh?
About 200 pounds.
My dear, you're positively terrifying. Let's have another drink. Jenny!
Wow.
Two more.
Oh, my, aren't we getting along?
Pay no attention to that. He's the type who thinks everyone in the world is trade.
Well, it's quite understandable. You know, to each his own, that's what I always say.
That's what I always say, too. Often you say.
May I ask you a personal question?
Please do.
Do you enjoy being homosexual?
Well, I don't know. Do you enjoy being whatever it is you are?
Fair question. Yes, I do. I'm a heterosexual.
Oh, really? Are you registered? I know what you mean, don't you?
That's on your table, so...
Yes, it is, and shut up. That keeps servants in their place. I know what you mean, though. I'm supposed to be some kind of hideous, humpback creature.
No. I'm sorry if you got that impression. It was just... I was just curious as to whether you had ever seen a psychiatrist, that was all.
Psychiatrist? Well, I lived with one once for 6 months. There's no help, believe me. He wound up stealing all my phonograph records. He was a good scientist, but a terrible human being, if you know what I mean. But you don't really think that homosexuals have to spend all their time lying around on somebody's couch in an office, do you?
No. As I say, you know, to each his own. It's, you know, what you prefer. I don't condemn you for what you are. I'm sure that we all have different tastes. It's a question of me liking women and not liking men, that's all.
How do you know? You probably haven't tried it since you were 12. You think I'm trying to make you, don't you?
Yes.
Well, you're right, actually. Well, I'll tell you what, let's have dinner tonight instead of lunch tomorrow, and I promise I won't make it tonight. Let me see the pipe.
I think I...
Finish your drink before you go. Don't be a bore. We're going to have lunch tomorrow? Or
yes.
Dinner tonight?
No, I have to get back to the hotel, but we will have lunch tomorrow. Why don't I call you?
How are you going to call me?
Well, if you give me your name, I'll just look it up in the phone book. It's probably in there.
Pritikin's my name. Pritikin. Larry Pritikin.
Well, what time should I call?
What time do you want to call?
Well, about 11 o'clock would be all right.
That's very good. What time do you want to have lunch?
About 12:30, I think, would be...
12:30. That's very good. Spell my name again.
Pritikin. Pritikin.
You have a very good memory.
Mm-hmm. May I have my pipe?
Wait a minute. You're not upset?
No.
No,
I'll
everything's
call you.
All
11
right.
11 o'clock, yes.
11 o'clock,
o'clock
in
yes.
A call? Okay.
Yes.
That's the kitchen.
Yes.
This is the kitchen. What do you want?
Okay.
Who's he?
I don't know. I wish he was mine.
Oh, you wouldn't know what to do with him. He's so big.
You see June Havoc? I saw
she's alive.
Greetings.
Question as to reason for distraction.
Oh, hurried explanation, notice of intention to depart, and parting salutation.
Question as to whereabouts of dinner.
Oh, guilty start, vague apology, and description of how to get dinner.
Demand for dinner.
Statement as to impossibility of satisfying request.
Reminder of housewifely duties.
Reminder of other duties and commitments, and reminder of prior notification of same.
Typical chauvinist put down.
Tired acceptance of the situation. Attempt to placate. Attempt to broach subject in an adult manner.
Refusal to deal on adult level.
Mothering attempt.
Demand for dinner.
Flirtation and description of joys to come later in the evening.
Crude sexual joke.
Rise to the occasion, long angry tirade about the relationship between the sexes and social situation in the world at large.
Expression of lust aroused by anger.
Temptuous, frustrated laugh and reminder of psychiatric explanation of sexual psychosis.
Reminder of war wound.
Classical comeback.
Childish retort.
Angry insult.
Threat of physical violence.
Confrontation.
Restatement of threat of physical violence.
Physical violence! Notice of intention to depart.
Incoherent babbling.
Final put down.
Speechless. Ah, realization of perfect thing to have said.
And that was from the 1973, I believe, edition of the committee. Unfortunately, I have no idea who they were because the record jacket doesn't say anything about it. But before that, we heard from the 1963 edition of the committee. Now let's go to the premise from 1961. They consisted of Theodore J. Flicker, who is now a successful television producer, Joan Darling, who is a television director, I believe, and motion picture director, George Siegel, who we all know about, and Thomas Aldridge, whom I know nothing about. And this particular piece features Joan Darling and George Siegel.
We have figured out that almost every plot known to mankind has turned up at one time or another in the motion pictures. And so we thought that if you all would call out to us your favorite motion pictures, we would extract the crisis moment from one of them, play the scene to the crisis, stop, and then all of us could decide how it should end. Okay, are there any pictures out in the house? Butterville 8, Place in the Sun. Place in the Sun. There's a scene where the boy and the girl are out rowing on the lake, and I believe the crisis moment is when she announces to him that she's pregnant.
You want an egg salad sandwich, Henry?
No, thank you, Norma.
Little tuna fish?
No, nothing. I'm not hungry.
A banana. Gee, it was so nice of you to ask me out here in the lake with you.
Yes, well, I brought you in the boat here, Norma, because I want to talk to you about something.
Oh, Henry, I thought that's what it was.
Well, this is very difficult for me, Norma. You know, of course, that I am an ambitious man.
Oh, yes, it's important that you be ambitious.
Yes, I want to get ahead.
Now.
Yes, Norma. Well, you see, you know, of course, the Ogilvies who own the factory in which we work.
Yes, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have met.
Yes. Well, of course, you know the Ogilvie daughter.
Oh, she's like a fairy princess.
Yes, that Ogilvie daughter. Well, I have been thinking about making a step towards marriage, Norma.
Oh, Henry. I thought that's what it was, and I'm very glad that you brought that subject up now, because, you see, Henry, you and I, we soon shall be three.
What do you mean, Norma?
Henry, we have been blessed.
Blessed?
I'm going to have a baby, Henry.
Stop!
Now, I believe that is the crisis moment. If not, it should be. Now, the ending is up to you. Now, shall it be a happy ending, a maudlin ending, a vicious ending, a religious ending, a Freudian ending, a sentimental... What is that?
Religious.
Religious? It is a religious ending, and you asked for it.
What is it that you were going to tell me, Norma?
Well, I'm glad that you brought up marriage at this moment, Henry, because you see, you and I...
Yes?
We have been blessed.
What do you mean?
I am with child, Henry.
But, Norma, you and I, we never...
That's just wonderful. Just wonderful. George Siegel and Joan Darling from the original cast recording of The Premise in 1961. Now let's move on to the one of the earlier incarnations of The Second City. I don't really know what year this was. I'm sure it's in the early 60s because it mainly features Alan Arkin and Barbara Harris, and it's a museum piece.
Here I am in Chicago! Sitting in the art gallery! I just fell in from New York City in a driving rain. And it's a bad scene in New York, but I swear to God it's the worst one in Chicago. That's why I'm gonna split for Denver, Colorado, where my buddies are. And that's the end of my story. And that's the end of my song.
I don't want to sound like a prude, but you're going to get kicked out of here.
I don't care. I got to speak my mind.
Oh, well, that's healthy. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, of course, it's all right with me. Actually, I know who you are, so...
How do you know who I am?
Well, I mean, I know who you are generically. You see, I took a humanities course last year, and I read quite a few of this current generation's writings. I read On the Road.
Well, yeah, that's Jack Kerouac.
Yes, I read The Subterranean.
Yeah, that's the one he wrote, Dumbo.
I read The Dharma Bomb.
Yeah, that's right, he read them all, Dumbo.
Yes.
You read that one, your poems? Poems?
Well, I read Howl.
That's right, from Allen Ginsberg.
Yes.
Yeah, you know he's my buddy.
I didn't know that.
I said, yes, he is. When we're in New York, we mess around.
Oh, how totally exciting.
Yeah, you know something about Allen Ginsberg?
No.
He's nuts.
Oh, well, actually, I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Well, you know, it took us all a week and a half to analyze that poem. Well, we knew it was profound, we just weren't sure why. There was one line in particular, though, that was totally enigmatic to us all, and since you know him, maybe you could enlighten me and I could go back and tell the class.
I could try.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. How nice of you. It came just about in the middle. Let's see. Oh, America, when will we deserve your 50,000 Trotskyites?
Yeah, that's the line in that poem.
Now, I know it has a lot of different meanings to it, but, well, what was he trying to say there?
He don't know what he's trying to say. You know, he writes very fast. Sometimes he don't even look quick.
Oh, that's... Well, thanks.
Yeah, excuse me. You know a lot about art and everything?
Well, yeah, no. Well, I'm insecure. Is there something you'd like to know about that?
Well, I don't know about art, you know, that stuff. What is
oh.
it? I mean, like that thing over there, what's that sticking out?
Oh, yes, well, this is...
A sculpture, right?
Yes, it is. Sculptor. This is a new acquisition here at the Art Institute. This is called Journey into Infinity, and it goes up three floors, actually. It's by a British angry young man, and it's rumored he's still up there building. This is, as Frank Lloyd Wright says, form with function.
But what does he mean by that?
It holds up the building.
Yeah. Now, that guy with a beard who was talking before, he's talking about this thing. I don't know what he meant. Could you express what that?
Yeah, well, this is he's a talking. Boris.
A what?
Harry Boris.
Oh, that's the guy.
This is one of our Chicago painters. And this is a collage, you see.
Yeah.
There's a tin can, a pie plate, a fish structure.
And a fish bone.
A fish bone. And a license plate right in the center.
Yeah, no, see, I... No,
tapestry.
You know, see, I can see, you know, I look at that, I see that, you know. That's not hard to see a fish bone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To find it. But I was wondering more, do you dig it? That's what I mean.
Oh, in this context, what do you mean by that?
In this context, I mean, does it grab you?
Oh. What an interesting idea. Where?
Does it grab you?
Yes.
Somewhere around in the guts.
Oh. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Well, I have gas. I can't be objective.
Yeah, no, wait a minute. Who said to be objective? I didn't say that, you know. I was about feeling. You know, how do you and your gas feel about that?
Oh. Oh, I see what you... I misunderstood.
No, that's what I meant.
How ridiculous.
Feel.
No, I know what you mean now. I see. Let's see. You want the painter's intent.
No, I don't
this
want
is
that.
Man's inner need to rebel well, against
what's,
the vulgar.
What's intent from a fishbone? You know,
well,
that's feeling. That's what we...
Excuse me. It says it right here in the book. Man's
inner need to rebel against... See, let me tell you right now. You're starting off on the wrong track. Because you're not going to find to see what the words in that thing express a feeling about what you're going to look up in the what see it's in a painting. That's right. No more than, you know, take the shoe on the other feet. To find what's up there in a painting, to look at a book to express a feeling, man. You know, you gotta find from my own thing what's going on in itself, man. That's all.
You're marvelously incoherent.
What can I say? I'm trying to be simple as pie, you know? That what I'm saying is, you look at it, that's all. Pretty soon something happens or it don't happen. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I relax and look at that thing, you know? And pretty soon that thing was going... Oh, I see the red eye of my mother in that painting. And she's yelling to me, go out and get a job, you rotten son of mine. But I'm not gonna do it. And down there, I see a blue beach with cats laying around slopping wine all over themselves, making a mess. And up yonder, I see a moon's head smiling down at me. Still by some upside down, so I guess that's frowning up at me. And now some of the stuff what I dig in that painting, I swear to God and Buddha. No, I messed it up. I messed the whole thing.
As far as I'm concerned, that was really, it was profound.
No, that was not. See, I was going to give you an example how to do it right, and I just got off the
track. I'm sorry, you should never judge yourself.
I'm not judging, I'm explaining that was not good.
Oh.
That's a different thing.
Well, I was moved.
You moved by nothing. Boy, you moved by that. You should have heard the one I did in Howard Johnson's this morning. I was in like Steve every inch. That's nothing. You know that? That's the kind of thing anybody can do.
That's where you're wrong. You see, 100 art courses and you couldn't get that kind of freedom.
So art course, you know, could learn from 100 art courses how to sing a song. Anybody knows that.
But
I could take somebody who's never done this before, sit them in this chair right here, 2 minutes time, they'd be wailing away, they wouldn't know what was going on.
Well, I doubt that.
I could do it.
No,
I could do it to
that.
You.
Oh, no, I couldn't. No, some people observe and others participate.
Yeah. See, how do you know which one of those you are till you try it? See?
Well, I can't. I have numerous problems in the area of spontaneity.
Yeah, but you know what President Eisenhower said about that?
What?
He said, there is nothing to lose but fear itself. If you like to try it, I'd be very happy to give you a lesson on how to do it.
Well, all right, I might as well try it.
Yeah, what the hell, right?
What the hell?
Yeah. Like I say,
You know, we only live once or twice. We might as well make the most of it. Okay, now let me tell you what to do, see? First thing is, don't be afraid that you're gonna say dirty words, see? Don't be afraid, because you're gonna. That's one. And then the next...
Excuse me, I'm going to say dirty words?
Oh, yeah, that's right. And the next thing is, the very second...
Well, does everyone say dirty words?
Yeah, oh, yeah. See, no, you gotta get rid of all that misery and the frustration and everything. That's a good way to do it. Now, the next thing is, the very...
I guess I'm human.
Yeah, now... The very second that I start to wail, you listening to me now? The very second that I start to wail on my horn here, you gotta come right in, see? You understand why?
No.
Well, I'll explain you why. That's so you don't have time to think about nothing.
Oh.
And it will just go, whoosh, comes right out, see?
Oh.
Okay, here we go. You're too late.
I confess, I was thinking of the dirty words.
That's why I told you not to think about, wasn't it? And you were thinking about it. Okay, let's try it. Let's go ahead right with it.
Let me get the process clear. First, I try to comprehend the meaning of the painting.
Yeah, but see, whatever you do, don't make no lists. That's exactly what we're fighting against, all them lists. You gotta let them loose. Out. That's all.
I know. I hate to fail.
Well, you don't have to, you know.
Yes. Well, all
there's
right.
No laws about that.
Oh, all right, let's see. Throw away all your material possessions. your house is corrupt. The whole system is corrupt, and the social status system based on.
Now, see, where do you see that up there? Now, see, that's not in that painting. You know what I mean? See, you gotta, you're writing a speech with them kind of words or something. You want another key or something? Yeah. Okay, try to emphasize now. See? Okay. Get right here. Move it.
Freedom, freedom, freedom.
Okay, right. That's
rebellion, rebellion, rebellion.
Yeah, okay.
Blue, green, orange, yellow.
You got the colors in your hair.
I hate my aunt.
Yeah.
freedom, freedom. Oh, sweat.
Yes, sweat.
Sex, 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 sex.
Yay. Hey, now. That's very good. You ever do that before?
Oh, no.
Well, that's fine for first shot, you know that? Listen, you know, you keep working on that for about a week and you're gonna have something really good.
Oh.
That's right. I've been doing this for a couple of months. I know about it. Listen, that's why I think that to keep up with the development of everything like that, what should happen is this. I'm gonna come up to your pad for a few days, see? And we'll work on this, and we'll work on a couple other things I got in mind.
No, I can't.
What's the can't?
I'm sorry. You just touched my rash. It's nothing. I have a psychosomatic. Oh, my. It's really. I can't because I have an appointment right now, but I'm not rejecting you, of course.
No, you are rejecting me.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, no, see what you're doing now? They call that rejecting.
No, I'm not rejecting you. I'm not. I'd live with my aunt.
So what? You know, we could straighten her out, too.
It's no. That's ridiculous. It'd take years.
I got nothing to do.
No, I just can't, that's all.
Well, fine, then, can't. That's the end of it. Adios.
Well, you misunderstand, you see. I think your movement is wonderful.
There's not no movement. Never gonna be no movement. I'm flesh and bones. I'm sitting, that's all.
Well, I meant you were that, too. I just can't leave. Well, you know, somebody's got to go on the road.
And you bourgeois bros, you give me a pain in my soul.
Alan Arkin and Barbara Harris from the cast of The Second City, sometime in the 60s, I think. A little hard to pin that down. Some of the other people that were in that show were Jack Burns and Avery Schreiber, but they were not heard in that routine. And that'll do it for tonight's episode of Funny Stuff, featuring early improv groups. Join me again next week for a very special program featuring some British rarities, some very, very rarely heard things. Things are very hard to find. Some very early work of Peter Cook and John Cleese and some of the other Monty Python people. And that'll sort of celebrate the fact that the long-awaited new Monty Python movie is out at long last. And I'm sure those some of you have already enjoyed the movie. Anyhow, that'll do it for tonight's episode of Funny Stuff. This is your host, Bob Glaster, hoping you enjoyed it and that you will keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Good night, everybody.